The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle. On the latest edition, I'm joined by Eddie Olczyk, Patrick Sharp, and Charlie Romeliotis. The guys discuss the NHL's return to play plan. What is the biggest challenge for the Blackhawks players and coaches as they prepare for the qualifying round? And we'll delve into the matchup versus the Edmonton Oilers. We'll head to Edmonton and talk to Mark Spector of Sportsnet Canada. He tells us Oilers fans are feeling very differently about the plan than Hawks fans are right about now. And what areas do the Oilers have an edge over the Hawks entering that series? And will Kirby Dach's line go up against McDavid or Draisaitl's line? It's all coming up on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Boys, we received some great news yesterday. The official return to play plan for the NHL was unveiled, and as we expected, it's a 24-team format. The Blackhawks are the 12 seed in the West. What did you think of this plan as it was unveiled, Edzo?
Well, PB, great to be with you. I think just the excitement level of the possibility and the return to getting back to whatever, you know, our new normal is going to be with the National Hockey League. And you know, I think the league has been upfront right from the start of the pause, really. I think the commissioner and Bill Daly, Commissioner Gary Bettman as well, I think they've done a wonderful job of just informing the public, staying on top of everything, giving information when needed. And then look, I'm sure that they had thousands of ideas and plans and people piping in. And look, at the end of the day, is you know, you're going to make some people upset. Some people are going to be disappointed. I'm sure maybe the top four teams that are getting the so-called bye into the playoffs probably would like to, you know, maybe have a little bit of a padding before they play those three games, maybe using some points from the regular season. But, hey, at the end of the day, it looks like we're going to have some hockey. But, look, I really believe, PB, if you want to look at this from what happened yesterday with the commissioner and eventually getting back and playing, we're probably at the 10-minute mark of the first period through this whole – you know, this whole transition from the pause to getting back to hockey. So one hurdle, great to see. And, you know, you could always poke holes at everything, but I think it was the best plan that was out there. And you can have some people that are happy and some people disappointed, and we'll see how it all plays out here over the course of the next couple of months.
Couldn't agree with you more, Ed. Zoe, it was a great day for hockey yesterday, tuning in to listen to the commissioner announce that the boys are going to come back and play finish the season that we just had, about 65, 70 games played. You know, we have something in our sport, boys, that not a lot of other leagues have, and that's the Stanley Cup. And I think it's a great idea that we finish this season, we award that trophy. You know, it's a little bit different of a format in the playoffs and the preliminary games and all that stuff. I don't care. I love it. If you look across the landscape of professional sports right now, whatever's being put on TV, there's a need for it. People want to tune in. They want to watch. So the fact that we're going to watch some NHL hockey, whatever the format may be, I think it's a positive thing. It's going to be great. And anytime we can get Edzo some more FaceTime, you know that's a good thing for the sport.
Oh, boy, I got to follow that one up now. No, it was nice because it gave fans some optimism. And I know we've kind of been speculating for the last couple months now what a format could look like if hockey is going to even return. But the fact that the NHL did come out with this announcement, because they were really the first major sport to announce the return to play plan, even though they didn't provide a timeline. So it provided some fans some optimism.
So here's how that return to play plan will look. The top four teams in each conference are going to get byes. They're going to play each other in a round robin to get the rust off. They're also playing for seeding in the opening round of the traditional 16-team Stanley Cup playoffs. Meanwhile, the 5 through 12 seeds will play a best-of-five format to see who enters the traditional 16-team field. Blackhawks are that 12 seed. They are going to take on Edmonton, the 5 seed. And Edzo, we kind of talked about this a little bit off the top here. I never thought we would see the Blackhawks starting on equal footing as a team that has 11 more points with them in the standings, but that's how this is going to play out.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, some teams have gotten lucky, some teams have gotten unlucky. Look, you could take a look at New Jersey and Buffalo in the Eastern Conference, PB, and, you know, they fell. They're only a couple of points away from Montreal, and they had a couple of games in hand. But look at the way that the league decided to break down the winning percentage. This is the way that it fell, and the Blackhawks were in 12th spot. And look at, good for them. And what an opportunity, really. I mean, you know, you could say on a whole, it's been a good season for the Blackhawks, but look where they are in the division. But it doesn't matter now. That's over. That's in the rearview mirror. And if we could get back to playing, they got a great opportunity, obviously, to go up to against, you know, two of the best players in the National Hockey League, and Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. And I think Sharpie could probably speak to this better than I can, because he's much, much younger than I am, PB. But it's going to be interesting to see, like before I get into that, I would just say, look, this thing is wide open. It really is, because these players are going to have not played any competitive hockey for almost 4 to 5 months when you really look at it since the pause. So the timing aspect, you know, how is that all going to play out? Because most of the teams are going to come in, and all these games are going to count for something, right? The best of five, that you know, the prelims to get into the playoffs, those 5 versus 12 and the 6 versus 11 matchups, you're playing right off the bat. The top four seeds are getting an opportunity, kind of get the kinks out. They know they're going to be in, but they are trying to play for a higher seed. The question that I would have and the concern that I would have is, how long is it going to take for these guys to get amped up? These teams that are playing early don't have that lot of time. And Sharpie, you're just recently retired. How long do you think they're going to need for a training camp once we get into phase 3, and then also cranking it up to know that what is at stake to take on your opponent and get on to the rest of the playoffs?
Well, I would think that if day one is the start of training camp, I would think you need at least 10 to 15 days with your group to practice. The goaltenders are who I'm thinking about the most in this one. You know, I feel like the players, let me say this, I guarantee you that today all National Hockey League players are working out a little bit harder than they were in previous weeks. Now that we know that hockey's coming back at some point, conditioning shouldn't be an issue. The way that the players take care of themselves in today's game, you know that they're going to be able to handle themselves on the ice. But the timing aspect of a goaltender's come to mind. Team systems. I mean, playing a team like the Edmonton Oilers from the Blackhawks standpoint, I mean, I wouldn't want to face McDavid and Draisaitl when I'm in midseason form and we've got our defensive scheme on lockdown. Now you're starting from scratch. Who knows what's going to happen? I predict a fun series, lots of highlights, lots of goals, lots of back and forth. The only experience I can draw on, guys, is back to the lockout of 2012-13. We were off from September until January the 15th with a lot of uncertainty. We didn't know when we were going to start. A lot of false starts, right? Hey, we're going in 2 weeks. Let's get ready. I look back at that Blackhawks team. We started this season 24 games without a loss. That tells me that our core group, our younger players, our guys playing overseas were prepared, ready to start that season. Trust me, we didn't know we were going to start so well that year. We didn't really know what we had in our locker room, but crazy things happen when there's uncertainty across the league. That's what we've got now. Either way, it's going to be some exciting hockey when we return.
Hey, Sharpie, if I can, Charlie and PB, I just want to follow up with Sharpie because he made an interesting point talking about that season back in 12 and 13. Sharpie, you guys had the opportunity of some guys were playing and actually skating and kept their timing up. This is, you know, like whatever happened before the pause, right, really doesn't mean anything, like really. So I guess to the heart of the question would be, how long do you think, besides the, you know, you said the 10 to 15 days, the hockey timing of it, right, the training off the ice, you could train all you want, and you could win every Ironman contest, but you get on that ice for the first time in maybe three and a half months, it's going to feel like you didn't do anything for 3 months, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to hurt for sure. Yeah. I don't envy these guys having to come back. A couple of years ago, we had that World Cup of Hockey in September, if you guys all recall. Right. The best players in the world made up a little mini tournament. Those guys were going playoff intensity from, what, the second week of September, end of August. So we can be done. These guys can perform. They can get their bodies up to that high level. But I would hate to just start cold. I'd love to get on the ice a little bit. I think the advantage goes to those top four teams in each conference because, yeah, they're jockeying for position a little bit. The points do matter. but it's almost like a preseason for those guys to kind of get their feet wet, get their timing back, and then boom, let's go in the 1-8 seeding round robin. So I don't know. I mean, we're broadcasters, Edzo. Charlie, you're covering the sport. Patty, you're dialed in as well. We don't know what's going to happen. We can give our best guess. Either way, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, there's a few major issues that are still being discussed. The NHL wants a bracket system. The players seem to prefer reseeding after the qualifying round. We also don't know if the first and second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be a best of five or a best of seven. And we do know they're going to be two hub cities that the East and the West play in. There's 10 cities now being considered for that. Chicago is on that list. It sounds like, Charlie, they won't make an announcement. Gary Bettman won't for about another 3 weeks on the two hub cities.
Yeah, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly did a conference call right after the announcement and basically mentioned that they're going to try to wait to the last possible minute to decide on that because there's still so many underlying factors and they're trying to weigh not just the arena but the location, the in-market transportation, secure hotels. So it's going to be the whole package. And I know Vegas seems like a front runner for one of the hubs and the second one looks to be up in the air.
Hey, Charlie, just to add on that, PB and Sharpie, and I think it's interesting when you look at it, right? You have three Canadian markets, right? You got Toronto, Edmonton, and Vancouver. You have three Eastern hubs, and you have seven in the West. Could we be in a situation where you have both hubs in one conference, right? Like when you really look at it. And then the other thing to throw into it, and the commissioner had touched on this, and also Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League, talked about the border restrictions into Canada. So those are things that are really interesting to be seeing how this all plays out. But you could have a situation where, let's use Chicago and Vegas, right? Vegas seems to be, I don't want to say a lock, but it certainly seems to have the most momentum that one of the hubs is going to be there. How is that going to all play out? Like who, because the Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights are both going to be in the, in the playoffs, is, who's going to go where? And then obviously which conference, what hub does the Eastern Conference team go to? So those are interesting things to really look at it. And then if you do get into the Canada aspect of it, could you have, Edmonton or Vancouver be in there with Vegas or somebody else? So little story within the big story of the hub cities as well.
No question about it. And then you'd look at the timeline that we know of as of now. So phase two is going to begin in early June. Could start as early as next week. Groups of six players can train at their team's facility. No coaches on the ice. Phase three, training camp. Gary Bettman said at the earliest, it would start in early July. So that would put phase four returning to play at the earliest late July or more likely August. Your thoughts on a timeline of possibly when the 2021 season, Edzo, I know you're tapped into this. Are we looking at, maybe the Winter Classic January 1, 2021 as kicking off that next season?
Well, I think, PB, let's get back to playing first and then we'll worry about next year. And I think that's the way the league is looking at it. I think, it's fair to want to know. And do we think we're going to have fans at any of these games early? No. Could you have the conference final and a Stanley Cup final in the particular home cities the later we go here into this tournament? It sounds like that could be a possibility. But again, the medical professionals will tell everybody. As far as the start of next season, it sure seems like it's going to be delayed because the National Hockey League, a lot of the revenue is based on tickets, right? Tickets, revenue, day of game, all that kind of stuff. So the later that we can get into, and hopefully we can get on the right side of this pandemic and get fans involved. So, maybe it's at the end of this year to start next season, but quite possibly, yeah, it could go into the start of January of 21.
Sharpie, your initial thoughts on this matchup, Blackhawks, Oilers, best of five. When you look at Drysdale, McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, they've got 13 games of Stanley Cup playoff experience under their belts. Just your initial thoughts on this matchup.
It's going to be exciting. I can tell you that much. Both sides aren't afraid to trade chances and put a few highlight reel tapes together. From the Blackhawks standpoint, I'm excited to see Kane, Taves, Brandon Saad, Duncan Keith, Corey Crawford back into the playoffs. We know what they've done in their history. Their postseason record speaks for itself. It's another opportunity for the younger guys, Dylan Strome, Alex DeBrincat, right? Nylander was getting better. These guys get a chance now, Kirby Dach and Boqvist, to play in some playoff games. And I know they had some success against the Oilers in the regular season. As far as I'm concerned, that's dead and gone. That's a long time ago. It's going to be a completely new ball game when we start up, whenever we do. The biggest thing for the Oilers, I'll mention it again, Draisaitl and McDavid. Keep your head up when they're on the ice. They're going to be on the ice half the game. They make plays. They're two of the best forwards in the game. That's a lot to handle for the Blackhawks. But when you look at all the playoff series that are going to be going on, Hawks-Oilers is going to be most exciting.
Sharpie, stay safe. We'll see you a little bit later on this summer.
All right, guys. Nice to see everybody. Happy birthday, Charlie.
Thanks, Patty.
We're joined now by senior columnist from Sportsnet Canada, Mark Spector. Mark, in Chicago, the Blackhawks fans are doing backflips that the Blackhawks are a part of the 2014 format, that they're in the qualifying round against the Oilers. How are Oilers fans accepting the format and the fact that they're starting on equal footing with the Hawks?
Yeah, Edmonton's on the exact opposite side of the spectrum, guys, from the Blackhawks. You know, Blackhawks, listen, no one is, Val, very few people in Chicago thought they'd see a playoff game with the Blackhawks in it. In Edmonton, if you go by points in the standings, Edmonton should be in the top four in the group that gets a bye in the first round. But because they lost their last game, their 71st game of the season, a 4-2 loss to Winnipeg, that skewed the points percentage race, so Dallas gets ahead of them. So Edmonton goes from being a team that was second in the Pacific and, you know, looking to have home ice advantage in a playoff series. Now they're in a play-in round with Chicago. So people aren't happy, but I'm going to say this, guys. It might turn out to be an advantage getting that round in under your belt, the short round. Might be more ready to play when the real playoffs start.
Mark, it's great to see you, and it's really the first time that we've got some hope, right? And there's still some hurdles to cross here. Somebody had explained it to me yesterday. Said, "Look, at you know, yeah, the return to play format is out, but we're only 10 minutes into the first period of this game because there are many hurdles to jump over." It's so far ahead, right, to hopefully get to this matchup between the Hawks and the Oilers, but how would you, from a Oilers point of view, handicap this, considering the pause and everything that goes with it? And arguably, you got two of the top three or four players in the entire National Hockey League that have played up until the pause this season.
Yeah, you know, the Hawks beat Edmonton two out of three times this season.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, notable. But the one, I mean, as you look at the Blackhawks as an opponent, guys, and you see them every night, they give up chances in a lot of categories more than any other team in the league, right? High danger chances, scoring chances, lots of shots against. So you're going to get your shots at at the Blackhawks net, and usually some pretty good ones. So, you know, in the playoffs, when goals get a little harder to get, you don't mind looking at an opponent that has a hard time keeping the puck out of their net. And I think Chicago's, that's not an unfair statement for Chicago. What scares you are two things here. Patrick Kane is one of the best money players of our generation. If they can keep a game close and it's in the waning minutes and they need a goal, Patrick Kane's the guy. Or in overtime, he'll kill you. And Corey Crawford, right? 100% healthy, won a couple of Stanley Cups in a shorter series. This guy, if he can't steal it from you, he can certainly play the role of keeping it close so the finishers on Chicago can get you late.
Edmonton relied so much on great special teams play during the regular season. We have no idea how, you know, that's going to translate 3 to 4 months later. Do you see this series, the deciding factor being special teams?
Yeah, when Edmonton's playing, they're going to beat you with they're not a very good 5-on-5 team, guys. Go through the stats. They're not strong 5-on-5, frankly. But their power play is, you know, just a couple of points short of the best power play in the history of the National Hockey League. I think it was like the 78 Habs. So here's Edmonton's formula, guys. This is how they beat you. They get a power play goal almost every night. So that's one. The McDavid and whoever he's playing with tends to find a goal most nights. Maybe that's two. And the second line of Draisaitl with Yamamoto and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has just been a killer line. They tend to find a goal. Now you got three goals. Edmonton's shorthanded unit, their penalty kill is second in the league. So on the other side of it, they don't give up many power play goals, and they've been getting some goaltending. So They're going to beat you on special teams, they think, because they got the first power play, the second PK in the National Hockey League, and they got a couple lines that can find them a goal here and there. If they get one kicked in by their third or fourth line, I think they feel like they can beat anybody any night.
Hey, Mark, real quick, I just want to ask you, both Chicago and Edmonton are possible hub cities. Yeah. What's the talk about Edmonton and the excitement level of possibly having the one of the conferences there?
Well, yeah, two sides. It sounds very much like if Edmonton or Chicago were to host, they would host the Eastern Conference, right? It doesn't sound like you get to have your own team in your own town. So that's the first thing. The second thing that swung it yesterday in my eyes, guys, and maybe you would have heard this too, Gary Bettman said they're waiting to name the hub cities based on sort of the medical information, the status of the COVID-19 in the given towns. I thought Vegas would be a shoe-in for this thing because of their hotel space and their banquet space and all that. But I'll tell you, if they open up Vegas, by the time the NHL gets there in July, it might be a bit of a hotbed. So Edmonton is a small northern city that no one else can compete with when it comes to coronavirus numbers. We have less people and we're further away. So we've got way less cases than a Chicago, a Vancouver, a Toronto, an LA, a Las Vegas. So if those are the numbers, Edmonton looks good. If it's up to banquet space and a place where people want to go hang out, I could stand a Chicago any day of the week.
Mark, lastly, Kirby Dach grew up about 20 miles outside of Edmonton. Your thoughts on what you've seen from the 19-year-old and his rookie campaign, and this being a subplot, taking on the team he cheered for as a kid?
Yeah, and people are already talking about him up here. As you guys know, it's a one-horse town up here. It's the Oilers, right? And they're already talking matchup. They're already talking Blackhawks, sports radio up here. Let's look at the Blackhawks versus the Oilers. Jonathan Toews is probably going to get the Connor McDavid line every shift. So who gets the Art Ross Trophy winning Leon Draisaitl's line? You know what? Pretty good chance it's young Kirby Dach, and people up here are already, everyone here has followed Kirby. He's from Fort Saskatchewan. It's just a suburb of Edmonton. People work in Edmonton and live there. A lot of hockey guys came out of there, right? The Whitneys came out of there and such. People are already sort of looking forward for two fronts, putting Draisaitl up against a rookie centerman. That looks good for the Oilers. But also, maybe Kirby Dach shows us something we haven't seen yet. And I think guys, certainly Edmontonians who know Kirby, were excited to see how he would perform in a starring role, which is what they give you when they put you up against number 29 up here in Edmonton.
Mark Spector, thank you very much. Stay safe, and we'll look forward to talking to you down the road.
See you, Mark.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Charlie. So between now and the qualifying round, are there going to be any exhibition games that the Blackhawks play in their modified training camp? And what are the roster sizes going to look like?
Yeah, it sounds like there are going to be two exhibition games played before they get into the qualifying round and the top four teams play their round robin format. And I think that's probably the smart way to go because you don't want to put these guys into situations where they're risking their health, not getting some tune-up games. And then as far as the rosters, it sounds like they are going to be an expanded roster, 28 skaters, and then bring as many goalies. So the NHL was kind of out in front of that yesterday.
And guys like Ian Mitchell will not be able to play. And, it opens the door for a guy that was injured and we thought was done for the season, like Calvin DeHaan. He may be able to go as he had shoulder surgery in December. Edzo, as a former player and a former coach, give me the biggest challenges both sides face between now and getting ready for this qualifying round.
Well, I think the timing aspect of everything. So, managing the minutes on the ice during the, the formal training camp. I mean, look, I'm sure guys now are going to be getting on the ice. They're going to be in pretty darn good condition, PB, by the time that they get to their team format and their, their formal training camp part of this. But the timing aspect of it, getting back into game shape, all those type of things as the coaches will be worried about with the players. But for me, as a former player, it would be the timing aspect, right? The quick drills, the quick plays below the goal line, all those type of things to get you ready because this is a crash course of getting ready. Even though Charlie said you got a couple of exhibition games, you got to be ready to go once that puck drops against the Edmonton Oilers from the Blackhawks' point of view.
Well, I can tell you one thing. You're not going to be able to watch the ponies quite as much this summer. Charlie, your golf game's going to suffer. And the best news of all is it looks like we're going to have hockey.
Drop the puck. Let's go.
So that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. For Eddie Olczyk, Patrick Sharp, Charlie Romaliotis, and Mark Spector, I am Pat Boyle. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate us, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
This is Mike Tirico introducing you to Sports Uncovered. The debut episode will explore I'm Back, the two-word facts from Michael Jordan announcing the most famous comeback in NBA history.
That's the most impactful two words ever.
Subscribe to Sports Uncovered for free wherever you listen to podcasts.